Welcome to the Wire to Wire podcast. Ison, have you on?
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. So if you want to kind of, so we can kick things off, if you want to just tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Yeah, sure. My name is Ison Lee. I live in Austin, Texas, and I'm a dating coach for men. So basically, I help men overcome limiting beliefs and find love.
Okay, and how long have you been in the space for?
Yeah, so it's funny that you ask. I started in 2016, but I was doing more so in-person coaching, and then with the pandemic, I had to shift more so online. So in 2020, that's when I did it full time until, obviously still doing it
Common experience that other people deal with,
right
right?
now.
So for yourself, what would you say was more of the driving factor or the motivation behind you becoming a dating coach?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I always wanted to become, the best version of myself and then give him to the world. So as a kid, I wish that there was someone like me to help me growing up because I had a lot of things I didn't understand and I was extremely shy. So going back to childhood, I lived in many different countries. So every country that I've been to, I felt like the outcast, never felt like I was home. And I would always get picked on for looking different or being different or not speaking the language. So that was something that I had to overcome. And that made me essentially very shy because I didn't really know how to interact with people. So moving forward, growing up, in middle school and high school, I started getting into sports and started to be more social. And then in college is when I realized that there are people that are similar to me that had the same struggles that I had. And they're still going through that even throughout college. So I started helping people, just understanding what their issues were and how to helping them overcome some of the things that I had to overcome myself. And eventually, my advice was working for people. They're getting into relationships or even just being more confident. So I started to, after college, I graduated and I went to LA to pursue modeling because my mother was a had a boutique fashion store in Europe where we lived, and so I always wanted to be a model and be in one of those magazines that I, read growing up. So, but modeling didn't pay nearly as much as people think it did, so that's why I had to look for something else. And one of the skills that I had was I was able to help people with dating in college. So I translated that skill into the real world and started getting my first clients right after college in 2016. And that's the rest is the history. The rest is history. So,
And then from there, you just became the hitch of your social circle.
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like men would ask me advice, women would ask me for advice, and then I would just be like the guy that people turn to for dating advice.
It's interesting because it seems that men are looking for long-term relationships, and women are also interested in, getting into long-term relationships as well. So there's this mutual interest in them wanting to do it. For some reason, they seem to have a lot of difficulty with it happening. So
That's right.
with your experience, like, what do you find are the biggest obstacles with them actually being able to get into those long-term relationships and finding that person to be with?
A lot of it is compatibility. And for men, the biggest issue is going to be not communicating to the woman about what he wants or expressing his true self. So that a lot of times my clients would say that I've been on 2 dates with this girl, but then she just texted me this morning saying that, I didn't feel the connection. I wish you the best. Or, it seems like we don't want the same things. Let's be friends. A lot of times that's a miscommunication or lack of communication. And I have a lot of men that I coach who are Asian, and we tend to be less communicative than our other counterparts because of, I guess, cultural upbringings or, we're taught to be more quiet, reserved. So we're not able to, or we don't necessarily feel like the need to be letting our emotions or thoughts be heard nearly as much as the other races do.
Okay, and that's an interesting point that you bring up. So, in regards to like helping Asian men, is that your primary, would you say, demographic, or do you usually Are there other
Yes, that would be my primary demographic because it's really I'm attracting them. So basically, they see a guy that are sim it looks like them, right? Say that's why they feel more comfortable that I could relate to them, and I can because I also have Asian parents and I have the similar upbringing, so they feel more connected to me than another guy that looks different. But the thing is, dating is universal, so the things that I apply with them is useful, and it works with other races or even ethnic groups as well.
Okay, and it's and that part of it I find to be very interesting, I would say. And for this next question, I think it's good that you have that modeling background because maybe you'd be able to, answer it, right? Typically, and I'm not saying this in any offensive way. There's no offense when I say this, but I just find that some cultures usually tend to be a bit more sexualized. So for example, with white men and white women, they usually tend to be more sexualized. You're starting to see it more with blacks, right? Black women, a lot of their images are driven by, sensuality, right? But I find that hasn't really been the case with Asian men, at least, from living in living in the West all my life, right? Like, do you find, from your experience, working in modeling, like I mentioned, do you find that to be kind of a contributing factor to why they might have difficulties in the dating market or why they might find it challenging sometimes?
That's part of it. That's definitely. Asian men aren't as sexualized as, African or Black women because, sex, you got to think about it. It's visual. A lot of it is visual, right? So if a guy sees a curvy woman, that's going to be much more attractive than a guy who's looking at a woman that's shaped like him. So, and obviously, there's a conception that, Black men have bigger like reproductive parts, bigger genitals, whereas Asian men aren't as endowed downstairs, right? So that's why, women would obviously, yeah, I want to be with a Black man for at least want to try it, right? But with the K-pop and anime resurgence here in the States, it seems to be that Asian men are more desirable comparing to 10, 20, 15 years ago, even. Because back then, with mainstream media, there wasn't a lot of main characters who are Asian who are seen as the main protagonist. So if you talk to anyone my age, 30 years old, girls grew up watching white men in movies, being the heroes, like fighting off tanks and stuff like that. They dream of finding a man like that as their husband later on. And I see the Asian guys in the movies, being nerdy, kung fu fighters, or just weird. They don't really see us as that person. But now it's changing, especially with K-pop, the Korean drama, music groups, things like that. We're seen as more attractive, which is good for us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because and I think that's why, representation can be important, right? Because these are things that, like you mentioned, they do shape people's conception and how people perceive a certain group, right? So I mean, even for example, K-pop, that's really booming in the US, in across the West, really North America as a whole. And then even to that actor, Simu Liu, right?
That's
Like
right.
he is kind of molding a new image of what Asian men can be, right? So I do think, yeah, I do think the mentality will change towards them.
Definitely.
And when you're coaching these men and you're speaking with them, right? Like, do you give them like the harsh truth, or do you kind of find a way to kind of massage it and be mindful of how they might feel or how they might take it? What's your approach here?
Yeah, so I'm very much so honest and transparent. So a lot of times it is gonna be the truth. It might not be the harsh truth. It is the truth though. But I'm gonna say it in a way that they can understand, they can relate to, because it's not going to be mean, but I'm going to give them reasons why I say certain things. And that's one of the factors why my coaching is effective and I can get really good results in a small amount of time because of these of the honesty and transparency that I give to my clients. And in return, they give that back to me. Like certain people just tell me their whole life story, like all this fears, trepidations, everything. So that's easier for me to understand why they're going through certain things they're going through because of the past, because of the trauma. So we can start deconstructing them and start fixing them.
Yeah, definitely. I can agree with that. I think, yeah, it's important to tell the truth. Let's be honest, it does take a certain level of vulnerability for a guy to even reach out to you. Like, that's a huge step that they're taking, right?
True.
So they deserve some credit for at least reaching out to an expert such as yourself and wanting that help. So I think, yeah, I think it's good that you have that approach. So when you're offering, strategies towards them, right? Do you advise them more to focus on like using dating apps, or do you also encourage them to do cold approach or meeting in person? Like, what would you say is a good approach for men to take when they're
So I would say that the most effective way is going to be approaching people in person because dating apps are more for beneficial for women. Because for men, we're more visual, right? We would swipe in 0.1 second and we know exactly what we're looking for. If someone doesn't match our criteria, then we're going to swipe left. Whereas like for women, just an average person gets like 10 to 15 likes every day easily. And attractive girls get 30 to 50 likes every day. You know, some girl opened up her app and she's got like over 1,000 likes. I was like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. So they're very selective and picky. That's why approaching someone in person, you have to edge because nowadays everyone's on these apps. So it's hard, or not a lot of men want to step outside their comfort zone to actually make that approach. So that whenever they do approach a woman, it's a breath of fresh air for the woman. And they're going to categorize this guy in a different place than everyone else was just matched with her on the apps. So I would say that dating apps, I like this analogy, fishing analogy. So dating apps, it's like you're fishing with, a fishing pole. You never know what's gonna catch, who's gonna, come bite, or what's gonna bite, or when they're gonna bite. Whereas like in-person approaches, it's like fishing with a net. You can pick out who you want to catch. Sometimes they might slip out the net, but at least what you're gonna get.
Yeah, I can agree with that logic because even too, I find like when you do it in person, it really gives you an opportunity to distinguish yourself from the hundreds and maybe thousands of other guys, right? Are going to be, in these dating apps, in their DMs on Instagram,
That's right.
Facebook, if they're on it, Snapchat. So, yeah, this is a good way to kind of distinguish and separate yourself, right?
Totally.
Because a lot of times people are afraid to cold approach because of getting rejected, right?
True.
So what would you say is, how do you have those conversations with your clients on not to worry about rejection or overcoming rejection when it happens? Because it is inevitable, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So how do you
So
have
it's
those
all
conversations?
about, yeah, this is a good question because rejections, everyone, every man has, who's ever approached or never approached, has that fear or had that fear once upon a time. So I would say that, first of all, you have to become the man that you are proud of, that you feel good about. If you're not, let's say if you don't have your life together or your room's a mess, you can't get a job, then you're not going to have a lot of confidence to actually talk to someone because you don't feel like you're confident in yourself. You got to find that first. And then whenever you realize your own value, you can provide value to others. So just like if you have the cure to cancer, you want to tell everyone else, right? So that they can be saved. And by telling someone that what you have can save them, you're doing the world a favor, right? So same thing with approaching. So if you're a good person, you have a lot of value to give, that you want to give the value to people. Like girls want to find a guy with high value. Girls want to find a guy who is going to be the good husband material. So you if you provide that for them, but they see rejected, they don't see it, it's not really your fault.
Yeah, and it's interesting you brought up, high value, because I find, especially like within the past few years, like since the pandemic especially, There's been this emphasis for men to want to become a high value man, right?
That's right, yes.
I want to get your definition of what a high value man means to you, but I also want to hear your opinion. Do you think people should just strive to be a high value man, but maybe they should more so focus on being a high quality man? So, just kind of a two-part question. A, what would be your definition of it? And then B, what do you think would be a more ideal goal for a person, high value versus high quality?
That's a good question. Yeah. Especially with the pandemic, it's important to be a high value man because this is what happened with the pandemic, after the pandemic. So a lot of guys, because they can't get out their own houses, they're just dating online. So they either reach out to people on Instagram, and because they have, materialistic things, they're more likely to be able to get that girl's attention. So that's why people are aiming for to be a high value man, have all these materialistic things, or perhaps, things that visually is appealing. So my definition, and the thing is, a lot of people don't understand what a lot of people don't understand is that they are high value men. A lot of people that come to me, they are high value men. They just don't see it. There's this, I was looking up some stats the other day. If you're a guy, let me see. Here we are. I think I have it. So if you're a guy who's in America, who's not obese, who's between the age of 20 to 30, and you make six figures, that's 1% of America, believe it or not. So all these guys are top 1% guys. Like some of these guys make 250K. And if you're over 6 feet between the age of 20 to 30, and you make, 100K, you're like top 0.6 or top 0.5, something like that. So a lot of these guys are in the top echelon of society, but they don't feel that way. They act average. They act like below average. They act needy. If you're a high value guy, but you act needy, what do you think people are going to perceive you as? As a needy guy. So I would always ask my clients, like, do you feel like you're below average or above average? They're like, oh, I feel like I'm above average for sure. Average household in America only makes 54K a year. And I make 130 or something. And then, so the next question I ask is, so why do you act so needy around these girls? Why do you over text them? Why do you do this? Why do you say it like that? Do you think a high value man act that way? No. Okay. So no, stop doing that.
Yeah, I think it's good that you bring that to their attention, right? Because I think, I think it's about being well-rounded.
That's right.
Like having money is one thing, but money doesn't equate to necessarily game, right?
Right, exactly.
So that is a whole separate thing altogether. So if you had to rank in terms of importance, right? So we'll say money. And then we'll say looks, because I think to some degree looks matters.
Right.
And then I think status is another thing that comes up pretty often. So
Right,
how people perceive someone, right? If you had to take those three things that I just mentioned, how would you categorize them in terms of importance for someone who's looking for like a long-term relationship?
If you are a guy or a girl, what would it be?
So if you're a guy, what should he have? And then
Oh, okay.
to look at it from the female perspective as well, what would she
Right,
prioritize?
right. Okay, so dependent on the age. So you mentioned looks, status, and wealth. So a woman that is younger is going to typically prefer the looks more than anything else, because they want to be with a guy that's handsome, tall. As they get older, especially if they have kids, they're going to look for the money to support the kids that they have. And then status is also important in that a lot of times if you have the status, you're able to get into like the circles that these people are in, so that even if you have no money, no looks, you have the status, you can easily acquire the money. And if you have the money, your plastic surgery is only a few thousand dollars each, so you get the looks.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that, I think. I think depending on where a person is in life, right, I think that's what they would look for. But as a man, right, because you need money to survive, but like we mentioned earlier, money is not the full equation, because Now, think about a lot of these celebrities that have money, but they have no clue how to talk to women or how to deal with women.
Right, exactly.
So I mean, even if someone is on the journey of acquiring money, I would still always say practice the game. That's
Yeah,
what I would do.
your inner self, like the inner game is more important than anything else. So, I was gonna say that looks don't really matter. Like, even if you're 5'4" but ugly, if you're a guy, it's good, lucky for you, it doesn't matter. But for women, you know, if she's short and stubby, it matters because guys don't really want a girl like that. So, luckily for us men, looks don't matter.
Even when like when you're at a grocery store and you see married couples, it's like the girl wants you on a higher level looks wise than the guy, right? You
Exactly.
see, and you see it on TV all the time, right? So it's I agree with that. So what would you say, right, to someone who reaches out to you completely socially awkward, let's just say they just finished high school, they're starting undergrad, right? And they reach out to you. How would you help someone like that navigate to getting to that end goal?
So I usually work with people that are 25 and over, because
Okay.
whenever they finish high school, they're into college or university, they don't really understand themselves yet. You know, I've definitely found my way through college as well. It takes a lot of time to understand yourself, and if you can't understand yourself, then you can't be secure in the person you are, because you're constantly changing, you're constantly experimenting new things. So I typically tell them to, hey, find yourself first, and then you can find a woman.
So we'll go. So you said 25 and above, right? So you have a 25, and this is probably something you see all the time, but they're 25, they're working professional, they make good money, but they're just not really having luck with the ladies, right? Either they're maybe they're getting them to go on dates with them, but then they're getting ghosted after, or maybe just not getting them to be very responsive to them. How would you construct or start to work with that person to get?
So first of all, like, the good thing is that they have a career stable, so you don't have to worry about that. And the only thing they're missing is understanding what's the leak, what's the point, what's the missing block to being successful with dating. So you're going on dates, but you're not connecting. That's the thing that's happening a lot of times. They're not connecting with the woman that they're going on dates with. So in order to figure that out, we gotta go backwards and figure out why is it that they're not connecting? What's holding them back from actually having a intimate connection emotionally? And a lot of it is from trauma, childhood trauma. They don't feel like they're good enough, because they are good enough on paper, but if they don't act like they're good enough, they don't have that security within them, then they can't express that outwards. And women can see that. They're gonna be like, oh wow, there's something off with this picture. You know, he didn't make six figures, has a car and a roof over his head. Then why does he act like he's broke? Or why does he act like he's so insecure? What happened? A lot of it is because of childhood trauma, especially with Asian households. You know, the mother would always criticize the kids for doing something bad, but never praise them for doing something well. And that's why I like to compare myself to a therapist and a cheerleader, because I am usually the first person to give them positive affirmations, first person to acknowledge the things that they've done.
I think it's good that you take that cerebral approach, right? Because I think, yeah, sometimes, you know, that pressure that you have to be, you know, you have to get good grades and you got to get that high paying job and you have to become somebody, right? So, yeah, if you're always focused on like, you know, the academia and the success, the social skills start to decline, right?
That's right.
Do you find like, also, too, like, do you find that you have to kind of really encourage them, especially to just increase their social skills altogether?
Yeah, a lot of times they lack social skills because they get inside their heads. And a lot of guys I coach are INTJs, so a lot of analytical people, which is good for their work because they need to make sure every scenario is thought out without the project falling apart. But it's bad for dating because they think of every bad scenario that could happen, and that's causing them not to take action.
When I hear you say that, it is very interesting because I even sometimes think about like my experiences when I was younger. And It's all the different, it's trial and error, right? Like, and I think I seen that in your bio. You mentioned that you wish you had someone like you because there was a lot of trial and error in what you were doing, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So what would you say if you had to kind of like think back for a moment, right? What would you say was like an awkward interaction, or you did something at the time that you thought was right, but then you look back and say, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that.
I think a lot of guys, especially when I was in my teenage years, there wasn't a lot of mindset development when it comes to dating. It was more so like, this is a line you could use. This is a pickup strategy, right? All that crap. So what a lot of guys fail to understand, and I was the same way, is that I try to be someone that I wasn't. So be cool, right? It's like, hey, if I become this person, if I say these words, ladies are gonna just magically fall on my lap. And it's weird because in the beginning, you might have some success, maybe get a phone number, maybe go on a date, maybe get a kiss. But eventually they're gonna figure out that the person you're pretending isn't the real you. And that is the most awkward thing, because then you're like, you try so hard to be this person, and they can see that you're a poser, you're not that person. And you feel bad too, because you're like, is this the only way a woman could like me, by me pretending not to be me? And that's why a lot of people go into that cycle and they come out worse than they went in. They get depressed. And that's essentially what depression is, being someone who you're not supposed to be.
To go off of like what we were talking about earlier, because like I mentioned to you, like I live here in Toronto, right? So there's certain pockets where it's more like culture dominant, right?
That's right.
So from my experience, like I always found, especially like within the Asian community, is that they're very homogenous,
That's right.
where they usually stick like within their culture. Like I've seen it, but it's very rare that I would usually see Asians like dating other races, right? So do you find that with Asian men that they just naturally tend to just want to gravitate towards their own because of like cultural pressure, or is it just something that is just it just happens by happenstance that that's just what they're into? How like what would you say your assessment of it?
So I've talked to a lot of guys, and two reasons. Number one is that, like you said, cultural pressure. A lot of men, even in their 30s, still try to get validation from their parents, because their parents, they want, if this guy is Chinese, they want him to date a Chinese woman, just because, that's how it's always been for them, right? And they feel like they can actually communicate with a girlfriend or wife eventually, and it just makes it easier. So they feel that, right? So if someone brings home a different race girl, the parents might not be happy, and they want to seek validation still from their parents. And that's one of the things that I talked to them about. Stop trying to please your parents, because like, your parents aren't going to live forever. You're going to be with this wife forever, or even want to get divorced. It's going to be messy for you and the wife and the kids. So please yourself first. But number two is that they might have tried a little bit to talk to women outside of their race, but they just feel like they're more comfortable with women inside the race. Because I was talking to this guy right before this call. He likes white women. He's a Chinese, I guess like Asian dude with Chinese descent. And then, but he always goes for the Asian women because he's had bad experiences or got rejected so many times by white women that he gave up. So
Yeah.
those are two reasons.
That makes sense, hearing you say that and then kind of like my lived experiences.
I would say just be with someone that you're attracted to. Duh. It's like you have two options. If you're buying cars, right, you can buy a safe, reliable car that you're going to hate driving for the next 5 years, or you're going to buy a nice car that you actually like. Buy the nice car.
And so when people contact you, right? So what is the primary method that they usually reach out to you?
Yeah, they can either reach out to me on Instagram or my website. You can book a call with me. First call is free. Just get to know each other. Or you can reach out to me on Instagram. It's my first and last name, AISENLI. Yeah, and then have a conversation there. But the thing is, if you reach out on Instagram, I might not see it because, since I don't follow you yet. So the better bet is the website.
Okay, so I kind of would like for you to kind of walk me and the audience through. So they reach out to you and then, they're looking for help with something, right? So what is usually the process from like A to Z on how it w on how they could like what it's like working with you and what that experience is like?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. First, we got to understand their goals, right? That's the most important part. Their goals, understand their struggles, challenges, and then find ways to overcome these things and get them there through mindset training, through useful real life scenarios, role playing, chats, etc. So everything needed for them to get to their goal in a short amount of time will get them there.
Okay. And usually, do you have, so usually, how many sessions would they get with you typically?
Yeah, depending on the goal. So usually about as short as 4 weeks, as long as 12 weeks or even 15 weeks, depending on what they're looking for. If someone has no experience, like complete virgin, hasn't ever had any contact with women, they might take, the longer route, 15 weeks or so.
And what are usually some, I guess, markers or benchmarks that you look for when you're dealing with your clients to know that they're either successful or they're on the right path to being successful and ultimately getting to that goal that you guys established at the
That's right.
beginning?
So I have programs that are set for them, and I have homeworks and assignments throughout the program so that every time they could complete something or accomplish something, I go over it with them and talk about the experience. And then depending on what they did, I can see, okay, this person on track, this person behind, and then we can recalibrate that.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know because I mean it holds them accountable too, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
So what I always say is that if you do everything that I gave you to do, they're not going to be hard. They're only going to take 2 to 3 hours a week max. You're going to get what you want out of the program, out of the trainings.
Yeah, and
But if
that's
you don't, then they're not going to get everything you want.
Yeah, and I think especially in this day and age, A, there's a lot of women that's out there. And then I find too, they find like the quality of men are not really there. So if there is a guy that makes good money that can have those social skills and know how to talk to women, like to be honest, he would
It'll be a
like
catch, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
you would have his pick of the litter, to be honest, because
Yeah.
there is a shortage of quality men. Like
That's right.
so yeah, I think it's good that you provide, that service to guys and you do it in a very practical way. So
Thank you.
yeah, so at this part of the podcast, I call it open floor. So basically it's just an open, free space for you to be able to discuss or communicate anything that you want to the audience.
Yeah, that's tough because I'm usually I like answering questions. I'm not a huge talker, but if I'm just sitting in front of a camera. So I would just give some words of encouragement. I would say that wherever you are today doesn't have to be where you would end up because the past experiences, the past actions you took made you the person that you are now, but the present actions you take today are gonna make you the person that you want to become in the future. So it's possible. Everything is possible. Don't give up. If you need help, reach out to me or someone else. We're here for you.
You see, those are some powerful words, man. But yeah, no, that's definitely some good information there. And I'm gonna put in the description of this episode, I'm gonna put this, I'll put all your details in the description so people will be able to reach out to you. The information will be there. But yeah, it's definitely great. It's definitely great having you on and being able to share that information. I think it was very valuable.
Thank you so much, Yusuf. Like your questions were amazing. I was very happy you asked the questions that you did. It made me really think and go deep. I really appreciate that and having me on. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening.
Definitely. Yeah, that's what this podcast is about. It's about having good conversations. So, but until next time, take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.